Singing differently, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stayed, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, am I. Love, love, lifted me. Love, lifted me. When nothing else could help, love, lifted me. Love, love. Lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithfully loving service to him belongs. Love, love lifted me, love, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely says, he will lift you by his love out of the angry way. He's the master of the sea, he lost his will of them. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love, love, lifted me. Love, lifted me. When nothing else could help, love, lifted me. Love, love, lifted me. Love, love, lifted me. When nothing else could help, love, lifted me. God bless you, brethren. We are glad to be back again on this daily devotion, picking from where we left yesterday. You are listening to Pastor Albert Matimbe from Zimbabwe. Let's talk more about the harvest and the laborers. Indeed, we talked about the harvest. and indicated that harvest is when we are bringing things together in the storehouse. Yes, sir. And we looked at the scriptures where Jesus told his disciples that his Father worketh and his work also. And we have to work where God is working. We have to work when God is working too. Yes, sir. And we know that when we are harvesting, laborers are involved. These are workers who do work either manual or physical. They contribute their efforts and energy to achieve a goal. That's what the laborers do. Yes, sir. And according to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, which you talked about, we are told that the harvest is ready and the laborers are needed to do the work, to spread the gospel. Yes, sir. We look at the harvest in biblical perspectives, seeing that there are four aspects in biblical context. The aspects of harvest. We talk about spiritual harvest, whereby people are to come to faith and through spiritual growth. We look at spiritual harvest. Yes, sir. We also observe that besides spiritual harvest, there's physical harvest. Gathering of crops, food production, name it. However, if we go further in a broader sense, we can also consider emotional harvest. Reaping what we have sown in relationships. As we are sharing on this daily devotion platform, we have emotional harvests amongst us. We are building relationships one with the other right across the globe. Yes, we encourage one another. Yes, these words of exhortation that are crossing as we're interacting with each other. And of course, let's not forget that this financial harvest, where we talk of monetary issues, those are harvests, types of harvest. Yes, sir. And now, today, let's go further into the Bible and pick the verses from John chapter 4, verse 27. And according to my Bible here, there's a subheading, fields are white to harvest. Verse 27 of John chapter 4 reads, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with thee? The woman then left a water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come, See a man which had told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth, he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you entered into their labors. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. Looking at this scripture and what transpired in Samaria, where there was a woman at the well, and Jesus was sent to him. There are seeds of God, sons and daughters of God, scattered in various parts of the world. And Jesus indeed had to pass by that place to come by the well and brought salvation to that woman. She was a religious person, but she didn't know the truth until Jesus had to tell her that those who worship the Lord should worship him in truth and spirit. And of course, Jesus told her of all the deeds that she had done, all the wrongs that she had done. And through the prophecy, that woman acknowledged that Jesus Christ indeed was Christ the Messiah. And after Jesus had told her of all what she did, she ran into the city and told many there, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then multitudes came to see and hear for themselves. You remember that when that woman went into the city, the disciples came back and asked him to eat the food, requested him to feed. But Jesus was not much concerned about this food. He told them he had better food to eat than this natural food. And his concern was to preach the gospel. That is why he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Many people don't understand the food that we partake, the concern that we have, the burden and the zeal that we have for the lost souls. This is the reason why Jesus had to tell the disciples that they did not know the food that Jesus would eat. He said he had the special food, a special meat. I have meat to eat that you know not. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Our main concern as gospel ministers is to accomplish the work that God has put on our shoulders. We are not restful up until something is done. We have a relief in our hearts when we when we would have achieved something for God. You know, the gospel minister has in him passion. He has in him the zeal to do the work of God, to ensure that something is done. Every God-called man has a burning desire in him to preach the gospel, to ensure that the gospel goes out to reach the lost people. You see? So that's why Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He told them, the disciples, they are 4 months. And then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Brethren, let us not be blind to see that the fields are white already. The season and the time for harvest is now. It's not any time later. It is now. So Jesus said to enlighten his disciples to see, to realize that the fields were white and ready for harvesting. If you turn me, if you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 5, King Solomon said, he who gathers crops in summer is wise, but he who sleeps when the harvest is here is a disgrace. This is what King Solomon said. He was a wise man, and he told people, discouraged people to sleep, discouraged people to slumber, discouraged people to doze when the harvest is there. And he said, the people who do that, the people who relax, the people who sleep, they are a disgrace. How many people are a disgrace to the Lord? How many people are a disgrace when they are supposed to be on the field, when they are supposed to be working, when they are supposed to be active? They are dormant. They are asleep. Whoa, it's a disgrace, my brother. It's a disgrace, my sister. Yes, sir. If you sleep when you are supposed to be in the field, when you are supposed to be working. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus clearly said these words. If you go with me to that chapter, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So we must make hay while the sun still shines. We must do things when the opportunity is there. When God gives you life on planet Earth, then you must make the best use of your time, the best use of your talent, the best use of the resources, and for the furtherance of the gospel. And when you do that, God will be proud of you. He will be happy for you. Yes, sir. This is what is expected of us. And I'm being reminded that during the first church age, the disciples were sent as missionaries, as apostles. Can you imagine that the 12 disciples, they managed to evangelize the whole world? Anyway, they managed to do the work of God. It took the power from above.
to fill up those people. And when God anoints you, when God chooses you, when God sends you, indeed, there is victory, there is success, there is a breakthrough. You remember that the messenger to the Laodicean church age, he said these words, when God sends you, he takes care of you. During this harvest time, this harvest period, when God sends you, he equips you with what it takes to do his work. He will support you. He will back you. His hand is upon you. Like what I said in the previous message, you must be assured. You must get assured. You must have confidence in what you are doing. In missiology, we are being told that there are three major aspects when you are getting out with the word. As a missionary, as a laborer, one, your presence in an environment, your presence in a country, your presence in any place is important. You must be filled. The church has to be filled. The presence of the church must be recognized. The presence of the ministers should be recognized. The presence of the laborer or laborers have to be recognized, that really the laborers are on the field. They are doing the work. And when you are there, showing thyself up to do the work, ready to do it, presenting yourself, your presence, that you are there to do the work, then there's proclamation. You proclaim the salvation, the gospel of salvation. Your presence is needed, the proclamation that you have to make, and you have to have a persuasive nature, persuasive aspect. So there's three P's in missionary or missiology. The study of how missionary work should be done, how laborers should be on the field, how laborers should do, perform the work. Number one, yes, sir, your presence. You have to be there. You shouldn't be seen sleeping. You should be active. Your presence has to be felt in a community, in an environment, in a society, in that country. People should know, should realize that you are there as a representative of the Most High God. So those three P's are very important. Your presence. And when you are there, you don't just have to zip your mouth. No. You have to open up your mouth. You proclaim the gospel. You proclaim salvation. You proclaim that the deliverance is there and the people are there to hear the voice of God through you. And God does not operate in a vacuum. He uses man. He uses you and me, and we proclaim. Yes, sir. You proclaim liberty. You proclaim salvation to those that are bound. And further, you persuade them towards this salvation. You direct them to Christ. They have to see and get convinced that you are there. So when you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be a doubting Thomas. No. You should have confidence in what you are saying. You should have the understanding of what you stand for. So that when people come to you and ask you and question you, you are able to explain things with confidence. When they ask you about the salvation, when they ask you about the resurrection of the saints, when they ask you about eternal life, you are able to explain these things. You are able to tell them and assure them, and then they will acknowledge, they will believe, they will be convinced that you are a true servant of the living God. Brethren, the fields are white and ready for harvest. The laborers should get on the field. They are present. The proclamation and the persuasiveness to tell humanity, to tell the people that salvation is there in Jesus Christ. God bless you, brethren. We meet in the next service.